Okay, so I told you we're starting a new journey. Most of you are aware of the community of people who work in, would we call them spiritual arts? You know, with our internet and our YouTube, we can access just about anybody saying anything about anything spiritual. When I was a little one, my mom talked to ghosts. It wasn't that she sought them out, but they would come to her if they needed help crossing over. And my aunt saw auras and could read. She didn't do it professionally, but she could read your energy if you asked. And my sister did astrology. And so I was raised with this. I was taught astrology before I was in seventh grade. I had to learn how to do it or she would not have anything to do with me. So I was raised with all of this stuff, but I still saw it through cultural eyes. We still see all of these things through the moral compass and the cultural biases of this reality. Do you understand? We can learn about astrology, but we still see it with the cultural eyes, don't we? We still see it good, bad, right, wrong, don't like them, do like them, that's a bad thing, this is a good thing. The duality of the culture. Ghosts, well, they're bad, they're scary, they're this, they're whatever, the eyes of the culture. So metaphysics gives you different eyes. And this is what we're going to be working on this month. Jesus brought us a greater understanding of God, of healing, of light, of eternity. And as soon as he was gone, and as soon as his disciples were gone from the planet, the original thrust of teachers were gone, the message was then viewed through the eyes of the culture of the time. So powers dictated our perception because powers were the ones that dictated the culture. So the perception of what Jesus said became viewed through different eyes. The seeds of truth that had been planted were there. The perception of the potential of those seeds became slanted. Jesus said clearly, these are your seeds, this is what you can do. The perceptions of the seeds through standard Christendom became slanted. The metaphysical perception is there is no right or wrong, right? What are we telling the energy to do? That's our metaphysical question. What are we telling the energy to do? There's no right or wrong. What are we doing? What are we creating? Metaphysically, we want to know what the causal thought is. What am I creating? Why am I creating this, right? Early Christendom, the causal thought was fear. So the perception remained a power outside of self. Jesus' teachings was a power inside of self. So healing, love, light, eternity, and God was now perceived in the eyes of the culture as outside of self. The culture shifted the viewing point. So this month, we are doing fundamental perspectives on foundational energies that we believe express the Christian nature. So we're going to look at fundamental perspectives on foundational energies that we believe express the Christian nature. And do you believe that kindness expresses the Christian nature? Okay. So we're going to break it down, and we're going to look at it through new eyes. You ready? And for some of you, you may go, I already know that, Cindy, but do ya? That's all I'm saying. On Wednesday, do you know it? On Saturday morning, do you know it? Sunday, we know it all. We open the files. We open those files. I got all my files open. I'm ready to really be. Yeah. So here we go. When we look at the word kindness, even by definition in Webster, kindness is a generous, warm, heartwarming and friendly, generous, kind, generous. It is, I wrote too small. It is exhibiting sympathy and understanding. So do you hear the meaning? Generous, exhibiting understanding, that's kind. So what is there inherent in kindness? giving. Nice. Don't you flop those words around? They're kind, they're nice. Nice is pleasant or agreeable, courteous and polite. Is there giving in nice by definition? There's allowing in nice, allowing. I wanted to start with a story book. This is a book that my son had when he was 4 or 5. He was really little. And you would know the character, so we shall not name the character. But there was a character in kindergarten. And in kindergarten, he's running around. He's blue. And he has, someone has brought cookies to the class. And so I'm reading David the book. I don't know where he got this book. But I'm reading it to David. I did not buy it for him. So I'm reading it to him. And so this creature, we need to name him, but nevertheless. This creature gets the thing of cookies. And he's going to every child, here's a cookie for you, and here's a cookie for you, and here's a cookie for you. And he's going to, and they name them all, Marilyn, whatever, everybody's getting a cookie. And then he looks down and his plate is empty, and there is no cookie for him. David cried. He cried. How could that be? How could he be being so nice, and now there's no cookie for him? Because that's who David was. That's who David is. Like, do you need it? Of course. Let me help you. Do you know what I'm saying? And so his little heart was broken that now there was no cookie for the one who was giving out the cookies. And then I got a little aggravated with the book. Not because I'm in metaphysics. He's 4 or 5. I've been there for a while now. Not because he's crying, but because of the message the book is giving. What? And in the book, the teacher says, oh, don't worry, I saved one for you. And so he gets his cookie. So here we go. Do we not have that message in us? If you give all you have, that is a good thing. And someone somewhere will give you back something. Do you understand? All right. It says everybody is important except you. You need to be last. You need to be last. Everybody else needs a cookie first. So to me, the message was a wrong message. When I first got into metaphysics so many years ago, I had this great idea. I was going to do this workshop called NICE. Never ignore cause and effect. That was going to be my workshop. I never did it, but it was a great idea. So in our culture, we are taught to be nice, and nice is thinking about others first. Nice is thinking about others first. We may start to give from our generosity, the plenty of the cookies, but we keep giving beyond self-care. Do you hear? Okay. So all are important, but we do not have to give to depletion. We also have a right to have our own needs recognized. Okay. Everybody resonate with our little story? Okay. What is the causal energy in our culture about being nice? What is the causal energy? Think of others first. Others are more important than you. Think of others first. They're more important than you. Why are they more important than you? They have more power than you? Maybe. Maybe they're more needy than you. They have less power than you? Maybe. Do you hear how it's outside self? We're outside of self? And remember, our cause is our intention plus our action. So why? What is our intention? If we think I make others more important than me, maybe somebody will make me more important than them. But really, what are we doing? We are, if you do this, what is your real causal energy? Power outside of self. I'm going to make someone more important than me. Someone's going to make me more. It's all power outside of self. But really, when we're thinking, why am I being nice? Most of us have this as our causal thought. Ready? I need to help people. Why do you need to help people? I need to be accepted. I'm not as good as everybody else, and if I'm nice, people will like me, they'll accept me, and I'll be good. Do you understand? How often do you say something about somebody, they're a nice person? You don't resonate with anything about them, but they're a nice person. You guys are getting quiet. I need to be seen as good. I have to be nice. What I'm going to tell you right now, I've heard in my counseling room right over there, I can't tell you how many times. Are you ready? From a gazillion people. Not just you. I have to be nice. I have to do this because it's the nice thing to do. Because mommy says so. And if I don't do it, I will hurt their feelings. I'm going to hurt their feelings. If I don't do it, it'll hurt them. If I don't do what I don't want to do, it's going to hurt their feelings. Are you guys hearing me? Have you said that? When you do this, you are perpetuating inequality. Oh, I got it. Aha! Thank you, God. Do you realize that? When you are feeling like you have to take on someone else and show up for someone else, you're saying they're not capable, they're not qualified. I have to show up. I'm perpetuating our inequality because I need to be nice. All right, you with me? Okay, intention plus action. All right, so maybe we want to consider the patterning of that as something that we might want to edit. Because we all have it in us a little bit. What would be the nice thing to do is our first question, and that is cultural. If you catch that, that's cultural. That's not me. That's what the culture has taught me. And Jesus did not say live culturally. He said be in the world, but not of the world. Okay. So we're going to move to kindness. Kindness is generosity and giving. To be generous, you have to have a storehouse to share from. You share of your abundance from a storehouse within you. You hear me? I give freely. This is my little affirmation. I give freely. I receive freely. I am in the flow of God's abundance. And then generosity becomes a state of being. I give freely. I flow freely. I am in the state of God's abundance. You all have seen me come in. I have my little bags with me. One of my bags is my bags of homeopathics. I love energy medicine. I love it. And I have homeopathics in my bag. And any of you who have coughed or sneezed or done something around me know that. Yes. And I will say to you, do you need or would you like something that will help you with that pretty quickly, blah, blah, blah. And I always share. And Patrick said, Cindy, several times, Cindy, stop. You're just giving everything away. Why do you do that? Stop. And I said to him, Pat, if I have it and they need it, it is theirs. If I have it and they need it, it is theirs. And there is a company that I have relied on for many years who is now no longer provides the product, and the product is not on the market anymore, of several things that have been my constant. I had one thing in my bag that I hadn't used in a long time. But it was really very good, and it really helps when you have a certain type of discomfort. And I ran into someone who had that discomfort. And I said, here, just put these under your tongue. It knocked it out. She recovered beautifully. One, two little dots. And so she mentioned it to someone else who said, oh, my God, Cindy, do you have any more? Oh, my God, I'm in such pain. I looked at my little thing. I knew they had been discontinued. They had been discontinued. How many more did I have in my little jug? Two. I went, they're yours. They're yours. I didn't think twice about it. I might have looked and gone, okay, we're done with that. They're yours. Totally healed within a matter of a few minutes, pain-free and perfect. We went to a health food store that we normally don't go to, and back in the far corner of the store, where they have homeopathics, two bottles of that very same thing that no one had purchased, and 3 bottles of another thing that I'd been out of for 6 months that's off the market. Oh, I said, thank you, God. I did my dance of joy and scuffed them all up. Because they had been waiting for me. Because I live in the abundance of God. And when those are out, another source will come. Somebody will start making it again. I don't know. But do you hear? We have to, and my storehouse of generosity, that was my last cookie. But I hadn't had to need it for such a long time. I'm ready to move past that. And the 2 bottles I bought, I haven't used. But I have them, and I have one in my bag if you need it. Do you hear me? Generosity has to come from that state of knowing. And Patrick doesn't do this medicine. That's why he's like, what are you doing, girl? He just sees me buying it all the time. And it was like when he saw that, he went, yep. Oh, yep. Yep. That's God. I don't want you to think he wasn't supportive. He was. So generosity comes from a state of being. I am not being nice at all when I offer this. I am just sharing what I have to share. So generosity is the giving aspect of the truth of who we are. We are not doing things we do not want to do. We are generous with the flow that we enjoy. I enjoy this flow. I can be generous with it, right? I may have things that I'm still working on that you can't borrow my Bible. I'll help you buy another one, but this is mine. So it's not that we are not being unique to our own natures. We don't have a commandment to be generous. Generous is a state of being that we live in from the storehouse of the extra that we have. Okay. So in order to be generous, to be able to really have the flow of energy, there are 2 things that we need to do. The first thing is, of course, to keep the storehouse full. And, you know, Jesus was always healing and loving and teaching and enlightening and showing up and all these things all the time. And we don't talk often enough about how many times he went apart to pray. 4 days, 3 days here, 7 days here. Took a month or two off when he sent the disciples out to do their mission work. He sent them out 2 by 2. He went by the sea and prayed. He went to the mountaintop. He rejuvenated himself all the time. As a child of light, self-care, self-love is paramount. We cannot give if we're just a sieve, because what are we really doing? The God love that comes to us needs to be nurturing to us, and then as we give it, it becomes all the more powerful because it's got that beautiful love of being channeled by a child of God. You know, we're not designed just to be, because we won't be able to hold it. Have you ever had somebody try to tell you they love you and you know they're depleted to the max? And you go, that's okay. I hear your intention and I appreciate your intention. I ain't feeling the energy. You don't say that out loud, but I appreciate your intention because I know you're depleted. Now you go love yourself. You go take a break. You go meditate. Go do something for you, right? Spirit also said this. When you want to unwind, now I'm talking about Wednesday and Thursday. When you want to unwind, when you are depleted, you've been giving your stuff in the world, you're a full house, storehouse is full, you've been out in the world, blah, 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 blah. What do you do to unwind? Do you sit in front of the TV? Do you listen to the news? Do you talk on the phone to friends? What I want you to be aware of is, to unwind and recharge, you have to get out of the thoughts of other people. Mm-hmm. I don't care if it's TV. I don't care if you watch TV. I don't care if you watch news. But to get the storehouse full, you have to stop other inputs. That means don't talk on the phone. That means don't play down Facebook. That means whatever it is that you do to unwind, stop so you can think your own thoughts. Even if you just sit and think your own thoughts for about 20 minutes, 30 minutes, you'll calm down. Okay? And if you got God in those thoughts, you'll calm down faster. You'll start getting more insights. You'll start getting more guidance. And then you can do the meditation or just sit and talk to God. But in order to restore, we have to get out of the chatters and the thoughts of others, because we won't know our own thoughts. With me? Okay. We all do that. I need to unwind. So the second thing that we need to do is we need to become aware that generosity, when you are generous, let me phrase this correctly, when you are being generous, then it's a state of being, it happens automatically. If I want to feel generous and I need to find somebody to feel generous with, am I being generous? No, I'm in the wrong space. Okay? But if I'm naturally being generous, you need to realize that you need a space to fill, to give to. Oh, I'm in such a great spirit. I just want to make everybody happy. I want you to feel my joy. I feel my joy. And I come up to David and I go, David, how's it going? He goes, grump, grump, grump. Okay, David. You stay right there, and I'm going to go over here. Because he can't take in what I have. You hear what I'm saying? Have you ever been talking to someone, and you want to tell them a story, and they're not listening? And what do you do when you go, oh, you are not listening? Do you keep talking? Sometimes I do just to hear myself. And I will literally say, I'm talking now so I can hear myself talk. Sometimes we do, sometimes we don't. But we're aware that it's not being received. So I wanted to share this scripture with you because we need to be aware of it for many reasons. Jesus has been teaching, and everywhere he goes, the crowds just come on them. They were in Capernaum. Peter said, the city is wild. The people crowd the streets. Every public place is filled. They're all asking for you. Everyone, the man who heals by will, your home, our homes, are filled with people who are sick. They call for Jesus, who is called the Christ. What should we say to them? And Jesus said, a score of other cities call, and we must take bread of life to them. Go call them in. It's time for us to go. He knew where he needed to go. He did not respond to need. He followed his heart, number one. Follow your heart. Then they went to Bethesda, same thing. Then they went to Tiberias. And in Tiberias, there was a leper who Jesus healed. And Jesus said to the leper, now go to the priest, which is their religion, and show them you've been healed, and then do whatever you need to do as a Jewish man to be healed from leprosy. That's part of their religion practice. Do not tell anyone what happened. Go straight to the synagogue, straight to the priest. Well, the man didn't. The man started hooping and hollering, telling everybody Jesus healed him, doing all the things, making noise, and the sick in throngs pressed upon the healer, imploring to be healed, and this is what you need to hear. They were so importunate. That means I am more important than you. I need you to heal me. You need to heal me. You need to make me more important than anything you've got going on right now. They were so importunate, little could be done. So the Christians left the crowded thoroughfares and went to a desert space, and they taught, and the multitudes followed. But they went into a space that was their space. They went to the desert. Okay. What did we say? We need to be the chooser. Number one. Number two. Sometimes there's not receptivity. And sometimes we have to say, I would have, Jesus stood in Jerusalem, said, I would have gathered you up, Jerusalem. I would have gathered you like a mother gathers the chicks, but you would not have that. I would have held you. I would have done so many good things for you. You would not have it. So it is what it is. When importunate is such a great word. When people are importunate, demanding, they can't really take much in, can they? And then Spirit asked me to say this to you. Well, Jesus said this. Spirit asked me to say this to you. Jesus gave to each one their life, their light, but he did not support their agendas. He supported their life and their light, the love, who they were, but not their agendas. That was their choice. How are they using the energy? If they're using it for purpose, for personal, I'm not getting behind that. you know, just I'm going to give you light, love, and energy. So, are we in our relationship with God ever demanding to God? Are we ever importunate? Heal me now, heal me now, heal me now, heal me now, heal me now. Can it happen? Tell me what to do, tell me what to do, tell me what to do, tell me what to do. And you hear, shh. They're not telling you to shut up. They're telling you, we cannot, you can't hear. You're so caught in your question, you calm down. You cannot hear until you calm. You cannot get your answer until you're receptive. Calm down. In living a generous spirit, not everyone can receive what you have to offer. We have to not be attached. But we also have to be aware when we are in that space of not being able to receive. Are you with me? Okay. Be kind to yourself. Give self what you have. Oh, wait. Give self what you have. Oh, my God, you guys. Let me tell you. Let me tell you about some of my clients. I used to do a lot more feng shui. As I age, I do less and less. But I used to do a lot more feng shui than I do now. And I go in someone's home and say, okay, well, what is that for over there? I'm saving that. What you saving it for? Oh, for my great-grandchildren when they're born. Really? And it's creating clutter in the corner right now? Why are you saving it? Either use it, pass it to your child already. Do something that serves you. Do something that serves you. Be kind to yourself. Give self what you have and open to receive. Take inventory of all the stuff you've got stashed. You're not giving it to you. It's stashed. Do you understand? You can save it. I don't care if you save it, but use it. Pull it out. Look at it. Bless yourself with it. Give it your energy. And it starts with our things, and it starts with our time, and it starts with our attention. It starts with our love. Across the board, we can inventory. What are we withholding from ourselves that we already have? You with me? Okay. Receive love, light, life. Receive that from God and let go your agenda. I wrote really small this morning. Receive God's love, light, and life, and let go your reasons, your agenda, and open to your spiritual truth. God's love and light will take you where you need to go. Sometimes where you are going has not yet been created yet. So we have to let the flow move us where we need to be. I'm going to close with these two things. I say unto you, to whom much has been given, much is required. To whom a little has been given, a little is required. Which one do you want to be? You want to be the much has been given? And you know what's required of you? Not that you give it all to other people, but you live it. That you live it. That you have storehouses of abundance that flow to you and through you. That you are the light and the love. The power is in you. Too much has been given. Much is required. You have much to share. And then they said this, a simple godly life may win 10,000 souls to purity and right. And you may think, my simple godly life, I don't really interact with people. Oh, your vibration interacts with the whole. Your vibration, as you live, as you love, as you vibrate God, affects everybody. They may never know your name, but they feel you. And when you holler and scream at people, guess what? It affects the whole. A simple godly life can win 10,000 people to spirit. If we can live our beliefs, be that light, and realize as I receive and the storehouse is full and I enjoy my life, I can freely share abundantly. And in that, I am blessing all. Because if I share abundantly, that message goes out to embrace consciousness that there is abundance for them too. You know, that message is being planted in race consciousness. That's a beautiful causal energy, isn't it? As I live in abundance, I'm encouraging all to live in abundance. Everybody can live in abundance. It's not me and you. It's us. How beautiful is that set of eyes? How beautiful is that perception? That we are all God's children, all capable, all willing, and we have to manage our energy. And we know everyone can manage theirs. And we can share, and we can dance, and we can all have an equal perspective of being a child of God. Okay. I am kindness. If I have it, I show it. I receive even more. Kindness requires the power to be within you. Do you have new eyes? Do you have new eyes? Can you go forward this week and when someone says to you, be nice, say, I'm going to be me. And sometimes I'm a little scratchy. But I'm going to be me. And I'm going to be generous with me. Generous with me, generous with the world. All right, let's anchor this in. Put your feet on the floor. Take a breath. Father, Mother, God, I love you so much. I just love you so much. And I thank you that your light pours into this space, and I thank you that it lifts us up so that we can see that we each have gifts to give. I thank you that we can be poured to overflowing with your essence. And I want you to breathe, everyone, breathe, and see a beautiful light pouring into you just through the crown chakra, coming all the way down, filling the chakras, the solar down, all the way to your feet. God, love flows through me now. And I let the storehouse become full. I want you just to let it build up in your heart. Let it build up in your body. And as it builds, begin to feel the radiance building in your arc field, a light beginning to shine without effort, letting your storehouse be strong, letting the light shine without effort. Father, Mother, God, we are your children. And I want you just to begin to feel that light, that oneness. Feel Jesus Christ standing by you. Feel his love for you. Your love for him. Your love for God. I am a child of God, filled to overflowing with light. Ready to share my light with the world. Let me thank you, God. Take a breath and just let your energy and your visual come back to your body, to the chair, your focus come back to this moment in time. I am ready to see with the eyes of God. And so it is. Yeah, God. All right, just gently open your eyes. I don't think I have to tell you what your homework is. I believe your homework will find you. But I want you to really, if we can leave one seed, are these my spirit eyes or my cultural eyes? Just think of that. My spirit recognition is all you need. And then choose what you want to choose. Doesn't matter to me what you choose. But choose. Say, yay, God.
Yay, God.